Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The way is clear for the transition to the Biden administration. The federal government has officially recognized Democrat Joe Biden as the president-elect, even as President Trump continues to attempt to undermine the election. NPR's Aisha Roscoe.
It means that Biden's team should now have access to government office space. They'll be able to formally meet with Trump administration officials to discuss policy issues and receive some $7.3 million to pay staffers and other expenses. And, you know, this is something that the Biden team and others had really expressed a lot of concern about, because up until now, they couldn't get information about national security briefings or vaccine distribution. And obviously, that's a big deal.
Now that the transition can formally begin, Biden is expected to appear today alongside some of his newly announced cabinet picks. His recognition as president-elect came after Michigan certified the state's election results. Georgia is set to begin counting ballots again today. A machine recount is scheduled to begin in about an hour. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Stephen Fowler reports that the results are expected to be very close to the original count.
159 counties will have until Wednesday, December 2nd, to send every single ballot through high-speed scanners, counting them for a third time. Gabriel Sterling with the Secretary of State's office says more time is needed to complete this count than the hand audit completed last week.
One of the issues we have with this situation is right now we have Thanksgiving on Thursday and actual elections going on Tuesday in several of our counties around the state.
State officials say they do not expect much, if any, change in the margin that saw President-elect Joe Biden defeat President Donald Trump by just under 13,000 votes. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.
To the pandemic now, the World Health Organization says it is encouraged by promising early results for another COVID-19 vaccine candidate, this one from AstraZeneca. But the UN agency says it's awaiting further data on the vaccine's efficacy and safety. NPR's Maria Godoy has more.
AstraZeneca says that interim results from Phase 3 trials show its COVID-19 vaccine could be as much as 90% effective, depending on the dosing regimen. The company's vaccine is considered a promising candidate for use in lower-income countries. That's because, unlike vaccines made by Moderna and Pfizer and its partner BioNTech, AstraZeneca's vaccine does not require ultra-cold storage conditions, so it could be kept in conventional refrigerators. AstraZeneca says it's seeking emergency use listing for its vaccine from the WHO. The WHO says the world will need a variety of affordable, easy-to-transport vaccine candidates to stem the coronavirus pandemic. Maria Godoy, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News. French President Emmanuel Macron is preparing to address the nation today. He is expected to give an update on the coronavirus situation in France, and he may announce a relaxation of lockdown rules that have been in place since the end of October. New figures show the coronavirus infections on a downward path in France. Russia says one of its Navy ships threatened to ram an American guided missile destroyer that Russia claims was violating its territorial waters in the Pacific Ocean. U.S. Navy says the destroyer was challenging what it calls Russia's excessive maritime claims. NPR's Lucien Kim is in Moscow.
The defense ministry in Moscow says the USS John S. McCain violated Russian territorial waters by more than a mile and did not turn around until it was challenged by a Russian destroyer. The U.S. Navy disputes that McCain ever entered Russian waters and says it does not recognize Russia's claim to a bay in the Sea of Japan. The Navy says the destroyer was conducting an operation to assert navigational freedom in the area. Russian ships and planes regularly challenge U.S. naval vessels with close encounters and flyovers. In 2017, the McCain was involved in a collision with a tanker that killed 10 sailors. Lucien Kim, NPR News, Moscow.
New York City's first and so far only black mayor has died. David Dinkins was 93. The police department says his death appears to be from natural causes. Dinkins was a Democrat who served one term as mayor, defeating Republican Rudy Giuliani in 1989. His wife, Joyce Dinkins, died just a few weeks ago at age 89. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.